If you got a Bible, turn with me to John chapter 4. John chapter 4 is where we're going to be this morning. I want to get right into the text today. We're continuing our series entitled Encounters with Jesus. And we're looking at one of the more familiar encounters in all of Jesus' ministry. One of my favorite passages in all of the Gospels. Right, Jesus' encounter with the woman at Samaria. And so I want to get right into the text because we're going to read a big chunk of the chapter together. We're going to start in verse 1 and we're going to read all the way down to verse 30. And so if you're there, let me know that you're there by saying there this morning. Amen. If you don't have a Bible with you, the verses are on the screen. You can follow along. Reading from the English Standard Version, John chapter 4. Here's what the word of the Lord says. Says this, now when Jesus had learned that the Pharisees had heard that Jesus was making and baptizing more disciples than John, although Jesus himself didn't baptize, but only his disciples, he left Judea and departed again for Galilee. And he had to pass through Samaria. So he came to a town of Samaria called Sychar, near the field that Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there, so Jesus, wearied as he was from his journey, was sitting beside the well. It was about the sixth hour, so it was about noontime. Verse 7, a woman from Samaria came to draw water, and Jesus said to her, give me a drink, for his disciples had gone away into the city to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him, how is it that you, a Jew, ask for a drink from me, a woman from Samaria? For Jews had no dealings with Samaritans. And Jesus answered her, if you only knew the gift of God and who it is that is saying to you, give me a drink, you would have asked him and he would have given you living water. And the woman said to him, sir, you have nothing to draw water with and the well is deep. Where do you get that living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob? Listen, he gave us this well and drank from it himself, as did his sons and his livestock. And Jesus said to her, everyone who drinks of this water will be thirsty again. But whoever drinks of the water that I will give him will never be thirsty again. For the water that I give him will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life. And the woman said to him, sir, give me this water so that I will not be thirsty or have to come here to draw water. Verse 16, Jesus said to her, go, call your husband and have him come here. And the woman answered him, I have no husband. And Jesus said to her, you're right in saying I have no husband, for you actually have had five husbands and the one you have now is not your husband. What you said is true. And the woman said to him, sir, I perceive that you're a prophet. Our fathers worshipped on this mountain, but you say that in Jerusalem is the place where people ought to worship. And Jesus said to her, woman, believe me, the hour is coming when neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem will you worship the Father. You worship what you do not know, and we worship what we do know, for salvation is from the Jews. But the hour is coming and is now here when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father is seeking such people to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and in truth. And the woman said to him, I know that the Messiah is coming. When he comes, he will tell us all things. And Jesus said to her, I who speak to you am he. Just then the disciples came back. They marveled at the fact that he was talking with a woman. But no one said, what do you seek or why are you talking with her? So the woman left her water jar and went away into town and said to all the people, come, see a man who told me all that I ever did. Can this be the Christ? And they went out of the town and were coming to him. I've entitled the sermon this morning simply this, The God Who Seeks. The God Who Seeks. We see this encounter with Jesus and this Samaritan woman. Samaritan woman encounters Jesus and her life is never the same. Right? Jesus sought her out. I'm thankful that we serve a God who still seeks. If
folks.
It reminds me of that old hymn of the faith, Brother Cliff, Softly and Tenderly. Y'all remember that? Those of you who've been in the church for a while, Softly and Tenderly. Jesus is calling for you and for me. He is seeking you out today, seeking you out. Our response ought to be to choose to respond to his seeking. Why don't we pray together? God, we love you. We thank you for today, Lord. We thank you for your word. God, we pray over these next few moments that you'd speak to us, God. God, we ask and pray that you'd meet us where we are. God, perhaps some of us in here, maybe like the Samaritan woman who searching all around, God, for true life, for satisfaction. Lord, pray that, God, you'd show them that it's only through you that they can find it. I pray for those that have been wandering for a while, Lord. I pray that they choose to return home. I pray for those that, God, have become so familiar with the Christian life, Lord, that it's been a long time since they've heard your voice or they've sought you out, Lord. I pray that, God, they would see and know that you are seeking them out, Lord. And they want, and their response ought to be to choose to return to you. God, I pray that you'd have your way in this place. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. The encounter with the woman at the well, the God who seeks. I want to highlight just three truths we see here from this passage pertaining to Jesus, right, and his heart, who he is, right, that we can take, right, and apply to our life, man, and leave encouraged and fired up to choose to live for him. First and foremost, we see here in the passage, man, we see Jesus' intentional heart. We see his intentional heart. The first nine verses talk about that. Jesus, right, is getting ready to head on back to Galilee, right? And if you know anything about first century time, there were a few different ways that he could have gone in order to get back to the place where he was wanting to go. And one of those ways was to cut right straight through Samaria. But here was the problem. The Jewish folks, who Jesus was, a Jew, right? And the Samaritans did not like each other. Man, they hated each other. It was worse than any kind of gang rivalry that we know of today. It was worse than, you know, that rivalry on that movie Grease, I think it was. Do y'all remember that movie Grease? Worse than that kind of rivalry there, right? The Jews and the Samaritans, they hated one another. And so the fact that Jesus would think about going this way, yeah, it was more convenient, if you will, but a lot of Jewish folks, man, they intentionally avoided it so that they didn't have to mess with Samaritans. Samaritans were known as, quote unquote, half-breeds, right? They were, Jewish folks mixed in with pagans during the time that the Assyrian Empire took over Israel. And so, man, they were looked down upon. Yet it said Jesus in verse 4 had to go through Samaria. Right? We see his intentionality. And in the same way, hey, Jesus is intentional today in seeking us out. He is intentional. What do we see here about his intentional heart? We see that he pursued this woman. He pursued her, man, and sought her out. Sought her out. It wasn't just by accident that Jesus went over to the well. Yeah, he was tired. But it wasn't just by accident that he decided at that moment, right, that he was going to sit at that well. Man, he knew that that woman was going to be there. And so he sought her out. Sought her out. He had a divine appointment with her. And listen, friends, in the same way, hey, man, Jesus wants to meet you right where you are today. Right where you are today. I know that sounds cliche. I know you've probably heard that before. But it's the truth. Where you are today, whether you're in a pit, man, or on the mountain, man, Jesus wants to meet you right there. Right there. Think about it for a second. The God of the universe, God of the universe, is intentionally seeking you out and wants to be with you. Man, that's incredible. It's incredible. The fact that he wants to connect with us. Here it is. He wants to meet you where you are and shake things up in your life for his glory. Man, he's still in the business of meeting people right where we are, man. Let me remind you, just in case. This might be a reminder for some of you, but let me go ahead and remind you, man, on how he has sought us out. Listen, he sought us out, man, sought us out to save us. Sought us out for salvation. 2 Corinthians 5:21 says it this way, that he made him, talking about the Lord, he made him who knew no sin to become sin on our behalf so we might become the righteousness of God in him. Sought us, man, to save us. By the way, sought us to save us at our worst. It says in Romans 5:8 that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Man, that's amazing. Amazing to think about. And for those of us who've been saved for a long time, man, may we choose to remember that. Remember that. And may that encourage us, right, to have the right perspective on this Jesus that we follow. Listen, he intentionally sought out this woman. Aren't you glad for that news, man? He's still willing to seek them out. And secondly, right, talking about Jesus' intentional heart, we see, man, that he engaged in conversation with her. This was real taboo, Brother Rick, the fact that he was willing to have a conversation with this woman. Jewish men, listen, in public, man, it was super taboo for them to have any conversation with them. It even said, man, historians say even Jewish men with their wives out in public, they wouldn't even talk to them. But the fact that this woman was a Samaritan woman, and he was willing to have a conversation with her, man, it speaks to the character of Jesus. Here's the thing today. I think there might be some of you in here who have fallen victim to this. I know I do in my life a lot of times. You know, is that, we have a mischaracterization of this Jesus, right, that we follow and serve. Maybe you're in here and you have this thought that God, right, in of itself is more of an evil, vindictive ruler, right, than he is a loving father. Maybe you're in here because of past experiences or because of stuff you've been taught in your life. You have this thought that, man, God is just out to get you rather than God is out there to be for you and is encouraging you to come to him. Can I encourage you today? Listen, the God of the universe, he is for you. He's for you. Yes, he is just. Yes, he is. But listen, he is for us. And he's proved that, man, by sending his son to die on the cross. Hey, he proves it every single day by giving us breath in our lungs, be able to breathe. He proves it every single day. We see that Jesus, man, was different. He's different. He engaged in conversation with this woman. Right? And it speaks to his heart and his character. Man, Jesus showed that he loved her enough to pursue her. And by the way, even at her lowest, as we saw here, we'll talk more about that here in a second. Man, Jesus engaged in conversation with her. Listen, the Lord is the great pursuer. Even at your worst, friend, maybe you're in here, man, you feel like you're far from God. Listen, man, hey, the Lord is pursuing you. He wants to be with you. And so choose, man, to respond to that pursuit. Secondly, right, firstly, we see that, man, Jesus in his character here and the fact that he had an intentional heart, man, to pursue this woman. Secondly, we see Jesus' invitation, don't we? In this conversation with the woman, right, in this interaction that he has with her, he invites her to a couple of different things. We see his intentional invitation. Pastor Gray, whenever I think of invitations, you know, I've had several, right, in my life. I've been invited, you know, to, whether it be work-related, to travel all over the country, you know, had the privilege of being able to be invited to, you know, speak in places all over, you know, the world. And been invited to other events, birthday parties, all this stuff. But perhaps the greatest invitation I ever received was whenever I was in seminary. And I was invited, right, to be a part of, again, one of the greatest things ever. I was told, I got a call, you know, on Wednesday night from a buddy of mine that said, hey, man, Chick-fil-A, they're opening up a brand new store on the other side of town. And listen, if we're one of the first 100 people there, we're going to get free Chick-fil-A for a year. I said, okay, bet that. I'm in. And so it was a Wednesday night. I'll never forget Wednesday night. We had church stuff. And then afterwards, man, I ran back to the seminary campus, picked me up a couple of snacks. Cause here's the thing. You had to, you know, stay there all night, you know, and so picked me up a couple of snacks, you know, brought my, you know, homework. I think I had Hebrew or something. I brought it just, you know, really just for decoration. I wasn't going to do no homework while I was there. Brought it for decoration. Man, set up at the, at the little Chick-fil-A parking lot, and the rule was, okay, you had to be there throughout the night. Like, if you left, you'd lose your spot in line. Man, we end up getting there, and, you know, me and another buddy were like 80 and 81 in line. So we said, man, we're just going to camp out here the rest of the night. We had another friend, right, who I had in my Hebrew class, I'll never forget. We call him, say, hey, man, you can get in on this too. He's like, oh, dude, man, we got Hebrew. We got all this translation stuff to do tomorrow. And I said, Brother Cliff, I told him, I said, listen, so you mean to tell me you're not willing to sacrifice, you know, one day's worth of homework for over $500 in God's chicken in Chick-fil-A that we can get? I couldn't believe it. I couldn't believe he said no to that. It was his loss. It was his loss. And so we ended up, man, getting the free Chick-fil-A for a year. And to this day, man, I'm thankful for that invitation. One of the greatest invites that I got. One of the greatest. Listen, I got invited, right, to get a chance to get a whole bunch of free chicken that a lot of folks, you know, believe actually gives you life, right? Chick-fil-A chicken. This woman here in John chapter 4 got invited to something better. Amen. She got invited to experience true life. Got invited to experience true life. And Jesus invites her to that. That's my first sub-point there, right? Part of this invitation is this invitation to life. Right? Jesus said, hey, man, if you knew who you were talking to, listen, you would, man, ask what it looks like, right, to experience, you know, true life and get some of this living water. And I would give you that. Right, he invites her to taste and see, right? Invites her to true life. Invites her to true life. And encourages her to see the fact that she actually needs it. Have you ever thought about the portion there in the scripture where it talks about, you know, Jesus asking her to bring, you know, bring her husband? I remember reading that and thinking, man, what is that about? What's the purpose of that? The purpose of it is for Jesus to get her to see the fact that she was empty and needed actual water, needed living water. See, this woman was trying to find her identity right in relationships. She had several husbands. Things weren't working out, right? And so she had been hurt, broken up, bruised based on these relationships. And so Jesus had to get her to see, right, the fact that she was empty, to visually see it, to visually understand it in order to move her, in order for her to move, rather, to, man, tasting and experiencing this true and living water. And in the same way, friends, hey, listen, we've got to see and understand, too, that we are empty. All of us in here are. We're empty. Listen, hey, that job that you got, man, that's great and good that you've pursued that you've got it. But man, if it's your sole hope in this life, man, it's just going to leave you empty. Hey, listen, that family that you got, man, that's great and good. It's great that you've invested in that. It's awesome, man. That's a blessing from the Lord. But if your whole identity is just in that family, it's going to leave you empty. It's going to leave you empty. What more? Those other pursuits in your life, man, that are, you know, great and good, that you know, that are healthy. It's awesome. But if that's where your hope is, man, and that's where your hope lies, it's just going to leave you empty at the end of the day. What you've got to see and understand is, man, knowing Jesus, surrendering to him is the only place and the only way that you are going to be able to find true satisfaction. Here's the question today. What broken cisterns are you running to? Jeremiah 2 described, right, to, choosing to run to things, right, that don't satisfy us. Broken cisterns. What are some of those broken cisterns that you're running to, man, to try to find satisfaction for your soul? Child of God in here, man, you may know Jesus, but you're running to other wells that are broken up. And so you find yourself tired and weary, broken up, beat up. Man, what are those wells that you run to? Hey, listen, could I encourage you, man, choose to run to the one that provides living water. Jesus. Jesus. Ecclesiastes 3:11 tells us that, man, God has placed eternity in the hearts of all people. At the end of the day, man, we were created for eternity. So that's why the stuff of this world, great and good, great gifts from God, man, you know, those things won't ultimately satisfy the deep yearning in our soul. Yeah. It's only Jesus that can do that. And so we must accept that invitation. We see Jesus invite her to true life, right? To find satisfaction for the thirsty soul. But secondly, we see that Jesus invited her to true worship. To true worship. We see here that the woman, right, whenever Jesus talks about at the end of verse 19, you know, the woman says, after Jesus says, hey, I know you've had five husbands. The woman said, hey, I perceive that you are a prophet, right? And the woman goes into this little spiel about their worship, the Samaritan worship. Those of you who may not know a little bit of the history, there's a little bit of rivalry here between the Samaritans and the Jews. The Samaritans, man, they had their own mountain, Mount Gerizim, right where they worshiped. They built their own temple wherever they worshiped. And it was kind of a mixed religion. You can see some of that in, I believe, 2 Kings 12. I believe that's where it is, the kind of the beginnings of that there. Right, but it was kind of a mixed worship, pagan and, you know, worshiping Yahweh God. They had their own place to worship. And so the woman's going into this thought of, hey, you know, you're here just bashing our worship, right? You're here as a Jew, man, looking down upon us just like every single person. And Jesus said, no, that's not it at all. That's not it at all. I'm here to tell you, man, and I'm here to invite you to true worship. True worship. And what it's all about. And what he says here, right, is true worship is done in spirit and in truth. Some of you may wonder, man, what does that mean? What does that mean? What is that? How do I understand that? It's simply this. Hey, worship is not about a building. Worship is not about a geographic location. Worship is not about a place that you sit in. No. Worship is about you and God through Christ. That's what it's about. That's what Jesus is saying here. Hey, worship is you and God. It's you and God. And here it is. We worship every single day. And by the way, not just with our lips, but with our life. What Jesus was doing here was inviting this woman, hey, into a loving relationship with him. Forget about the buildings. Forget about the mountain that you're worshiping on. Hey, forget about the style in which you worship. Man, worship, true worship is about a loving relationship with me. Here it is. Worship in the building, it's being betrothed to Christ. Listen, it's not a life event. It's a lifestyle. We're called to worship every day, not just with our lips, but with our life. Hey, true worship is us and Jesus. It's us and Jesus. And by the way, those of us in here who know Christ, hey, listen, may we not forget that. Maybe it's been a while since you've engaged in true worship because you've mixed it up. It's been more about a geographical location, or it's been more about a style or a time, or it's us and Jesus, communing with him every single day, walking with him. Man, that's what true worship is all about. And we see that Jesus invites her to that. Listen, have you accepted the invitation, man, to true life? Have you accepted the invitation to true worship? Man, the invitation's there. Choose to engage in it. And then thirdly and lastly is this. Listen, we see Jesus's eternal impact on the life of the woman. Verses 25 through 30. We see the eternal impact. Let me make sure to read it. Let me go back to it. Powerful. You know, the woman said to him, I know that Messiah is coming. He who is called the Christ. When he comes, he will tell us all things. And Jesus said to her, I who speak is he. The disciples come back. And in verse 28 says that the woman left her water jar and went away into the town and said to the people, come see a man who told me all that I ever did. Can this be the Christ? We see Jesus' eternal impact on the woman. Hey, her life was changed forever. Say, Pastor Irv, how so? I'm glad you asked. Hey, first and foremost, it was changed in the fact that, man, we see that she was eternally satisfied. It says that she left her water jar. Man, she was going there just to get some water. Go back to the house. She didn't need the water jar no more. She found the living water. Found the living water, and that being Christ Jesus. And man, so she experienced true satisfaction. Got a drink from the living water. Gave her life. Hey, I believe she gave her life to Christ at that moment. Her life was forever changed, man. No more chasing things that never would satisfy her again. Hey, no more broken cisterns, man. She met the one who satisfies. Man, she was eternally satisfied. And then secondly, man, we see right away she was engaged in mission. Engaged in mission. That's what's interesting here. Woman been saved about 5 minutes. Yet she couldn't help but to tell everybody, hey, come and see. There's a guy that I met at the well. Guy who met at the well, man who told me everything I ever did. This has got to be him. This has got to be the Christ. This has got to be him. This has got to be the one that we talked about. Man, she was engaged in mission. Hey, she didn't have any kind of formal training. Hey, she wasn't a preacher. She wasn't ordained. She wasn't even saved that long. Yet she went out and shared with everyone she knew back where she was from about this Jesus. Hey, here it is. She shared her testimony. She shared her story. And if you read the rest of the passage, you'll see right how God used her testimony and her story to bring others from Samaria to him. Man, she was engaged on mission for him. And may we too choose to be that way. Love of God. That Samaritan woman experienced the Lord in her life. Was never the same after that. A few quick takeaway points and then be done this morning. Number one, a reminder for some, but a need to hear from others, right? All people are valuable to the Lord. All people are valuable to him. The Samaritan woman was the lowest of the low, according to the culture, right? Rejected by many. Maybe you're in here and you feel the same way. Feel like your life is a mess. You've made a mess of your life, and there's nothing you can do about it. Well, I know someone who, man, wants to clean you up. Listen, and Brother Rick, it's not the brawny man. It's not the brawny man, right? It's Christ. It's Christ, man. His blood, man, can make you clean. Blood of Jesus can wash away your sin, man. The blood of Jesus can make you whole again. And so choose to turn to him. We see the love and mercy of God at display here. That is who the God of the universe is. He's a God of love and mercy and is willing to meet you where you are. And there's nothing he won't do to try and get to you. We've got to remember that all people are valuable to the Lord. Secondly, we've got to remember that Jesus is better. He's better. We've got to understand that by choosing to be folks that run to, man, the well that will never run dry, man. And what that looks like is us choosing to run to him. That's how we continue to draw from the living water, is running to the Lord and asking for him, man, to fill us with his Spirit every single day. Single day. Right? And the continuation of that is choosing to engage in true worship by choosing to run to him every single day. It's neat, the parallels, right, of the Old Testament. A lot of scholars believe Sychar is in the same general region as the area of Shechem, where God made the promise to Abraham, right, that he'd, you know, be the father of many nations. But it was there that Abram was made right with God, you know, and worship was just him and God. He didn't have a Bible. He didn't have a temple, right? It was just him and the Lord. And we see this picture here, right, and a reminder for us that true worship is, man, intentionally staying close to the Lord, walking with him in prayer and in his word every single day. Man, understand that Jesus is better. And then thirdly and lastly is this, hey, man, if we know Christ, we can't help but to share that news with others. Can't help but to share that news with others. We can't help but to be folks that, man, that call and share, right, have the same heart as the psalmist in Psalm 66:16 that say, man, come in here, all you who fear God, and I will tell you what he's done for my soul. We can't help but to be folks that share. You say, Pastor Irv, man, I don't know many Bible verses. I'm not a preacher. I don't know any of this. Hey, you can start by sharing what he's done for you. You can start by sharing your testimony. And we see, by the way, the power of the testimony of this woman and how we see many in that Samaritan village come to know him. Listen, we can't help but to share. Can't help but to share. And maybe some of you today are struggling with sharing because you have, man, forgotten all that he indeed has done for your soul. And so may the Lord remind you of what he's done.